Gladys and the Big Gig. Hello, this is Natasha, and this is the latest episode of Gladys and the girl band called The Chicks. If you've heard the earlier stories, you'll know that Gladys has three older sisters who are in a girl band, and they are hoping to make it really, really big one day. But right now, they're just starting, and they've got a long way to go to the top. Gladys isn't in the band because she's too young, but in fact, she's the brains of the family, and if it wasn't for her, the Chicks would be nowhere. The Chicks' new manager was called Arnie Lane, and he liked to chomp cigars and talk about all the singers who'd become monster rich just because of him. He started to ring their house quite often. The first time he called, Sam picked up the phone. "Yeah?" she said.
"Arnold Lane here. Get me the song, sister, will you, darling?"
"Which sis would that be, bro?" asked Sam. "We're all song sisters here."
What's her name? Gladdy, the girl with the golden brain, that's the one. Give Sister Glad a shout for me, will you now, my love?"
Sam couldn't think for the life of her why the manager would want to speak to her younger sister. But he did talk to her for quite a while. She could hear Gladys saying, "Yes, that will probably be fine. Right, we'll be on for that. Cool. Thanks, Arnie." And when the elder sisters demanded to know exactly what they would be on for, Gladys replied, "The Chicks are going to start gigging." And she was surprised about how surprised her sisters looked. Sam said,
"You mean like singing live in front of an audience?"
Gladys said, "Yes, that's what being in a band was all about." For the first time, she was relieved that she wasn't actually a performing member of the band. She could see that Sam had stage fright, and she realised that it would be quite scary to perform in front of a real audience.
"Well, cheers for telling us about that," said Laura. "When you and Arnie have finished planning our futures, just let us know, because I might be washing my hair that night."
"Well, it's sing or die," said Gladys. "Because if you can't do this, you might as well give up now." And the girls knew that she was right. For the next few weeks, Arnie was often on the phone asking for Gladys. In fact, after a while, he sent her a mobile phone so that he could catch her during playtime at school. It was against the school rules to use a phone, and Gladys had to go into the bike shed so as not to get caught. Arnie said that normally a new band would play the circuit, which meant pubs and clubs in London. But as the girls were so young, the circuit might not do for them. So Arnie booked the girls into a big charity event where bands would be playing to raise money for good causes. It was going to be in a posh hotel in London, and the girls would have to do just one song and make it a good one. It was half term at school. Arnie booked a rehearsal room. On Monday, the Chicks had to be there at 9 a.m. because the room was cheaper in the mornings. Gladys was up at 6:45. She tried to get her sisters out of bed, but it wasn't easy. They got to the rehearsal at 11:15. When they came into the room, they saw their backing musicians sitting around drinking mugs of tea.
"Cool, they really made an effort," said Laura.
She meant that only one of the four men had bothered to get shaved. Gladys handed out song sheets to the musicians. They picked up their instruments and they got the tune almost right away. They were playing together right on the beat. They were professionals, you see. But the sisters found it really hard to sing in tune.
Cole, my voice is a bit croaky this morning, said Laura.
I can't hear myself, complained Mandy, because it really wasn't that easy singing along to a live band. After a while, they weren't sounding too bad, but when they tried dancing, they went completely out of tune again.
Well, what are you smirking at? Said Laura to the drummer. If you think it's so easy, you come up here and try to sing and dance at the same time.
The drummer didn't reply. He just did a little roll on his drums, and Laura felt better because she had told somebody off.
At 12, they had to pack up and leave the rehearsal room because it had been booked by a brass band. That evening, Arnie rang to give Gladys a big ticking off for not getting the girls there on time. She promised to try harder the next day. On Tuesday, they managed to get there by 10 past 10, but most of the morning was taken up by trying on costumes. The designer decided to dress them in shimmering silver to contrast with their suntans. On Wednesday, the choreographer showed them a new dance routine. On Thursday, they had to practice singing and dancing at the same time again. And on Friday, they tried dancing and singing while wearing high platform shoes. Arnie came to see them. His verdict was, lovely jubbly. On Saturday afternoon, they took the train up to London to get ready for that evening's big gig. The girls were cross with Gladys because she hadn't arranged a stretch limo for them. Sam said,
look at the state of this carriage. How are we supposed to work up star quality when we have to sit ankle deep in yesterday's newspapers, half-eaten sandwiches and coffee cups?
Gladys replied that artists have to stay in touch with the people, no matter how big stars they become. The four girls squeezed into a black cab at Waterloo Station. On the way to the hotel, Arnie called on Gladys's mobile.
Where are you? He asked crossly.
Almost there, replied Gladys. The journey to the hotel cost £12, which Gladys paid out of her pocket money. When the girls arrived in the banqueting room, a boy band was practicing its act. The lead singer had shiny blonde hair and big blue eyes with long lashes. Laura said,
Cor, he's so pretty. He should be in the Chicks.
Yeah, they're so useless, they'll make us look good, added Sam. Arnie was looking at his watch.
Well, glad you made it, girls, he said. 'Cause a top talent spotter from the recording company is going to be here tonight, and he's on the lookout for young acts.
Great, said Gladys. But the girls weren't at all pleased. In the dressing room, Mandy said to Gladys, don't you think it's a little early for the recording companies to be watching us? This is our first time in public.
Yeah, Gladdy, said Laura. I feel really stressed out now.
Gladys tried to explain that she hadn't arranged for the record company to come and see them. But because she was the one who was in touch with Arnie, the girls thought it was all her fault.
Thanks, Gladdy, said Sam. You've probably ruined our big chance.
It was time for the Chicks to do a sound test when they ran through their song on stage and the sound engineer made sure that the microphones and amplifiers were all set at the right levels. Laura complained that she couldn't hear herself. Sam said that the drummer was being too fancy with his roles, and Mandy accused the lead guitarist of showing off. Gladys knew that they were being really difficult because they were nervous. Then they got changed into their silver costumes and platform shoes, and the makeup artist came round and did their faces, and the stylist arranged their hair. And for the first time, the girls began to feel just a little bit like stars. Then they waited. And they waited. And the guests started to arrive. And the evening was underway. The boy band was due on just before them. They were called the Throbinsons, which all the girls thought was a really naff name. Mandy knocked on their dressing room door and wished them luck. The lead singer kissed her on the cheek, but she was too embarrassed to tell the other girls about that. When she got back, she said that they didn't look quite so perfect close up, and they were clammy and had spots just like ordinary boys. But the audience liked them. They could hear people whooping while they were singing their song about the broken-hearted love for a brown-eyed girl. At the end of the song, the cheering and applause was so loud that the boys went back for a brief encore of their chorus.
"I'll bet the record label signs them and not us," said Sam.
"And it's all your fault, Gladys. You really should have made sure that that band on before us was really, really bad."
Gladys watched the chicks from the side of the stage while they performed. She thought they were pretty good. If you knew their act really well, you might have noticed one or two tiny little slips with the dance steps. But on the whole, they were great. The audience gave them lots of applause, though perhaps not quite so much as they had given the boys. Arnie texted her to say, "Nice one." And Gladys felt really proud of her sisters. But when the chicks came back off the stage, they were in a terrible mood.
"We were awful," said Laura.
"Totally stank," said Mandy.
"Pants," said Sam.
"No, you weren't. You were great," said Gladys. But the girls were furious with her. It was all her fault. She should have got them a limo to the hotel. She should have given them more time to rehearse on the day. She should have got them better backing musicians. She should have made sure they were on after a really bad act. And she should have made sure that there wasn't a talent scout from the record label within a million miles of their very first performance, because they might only ever get one chance to show him what they could really do. Gladys fought back the tears. She knew they were being unfair. But she was too upset to answer back. She went out into the corridor. By the stage door, she met Arnie. He was talking to a man she didn't know.
"Gladdy, meet Josh from Big Records," said Arnie. "And Josh, meet Gladys, my right-hand girl and the brains behind the chicks."
"You look like you've been crying," said Josh.
"I hope there were tears of joy."
But Gladys said that the girls were blaming her because they messed up their act.
"Well, I've seen worse," said Josh.
"And what about the boy band?" said Gladys.
"Oh, don't make me puke," said Josh. "Come off it. The Throbinsons. Don't they realise how naff that name is? Now, the chicks. That kind of suits you. Cool name."
"I thought of it," said Gladys, and she felt more cheerful. Then Josh gave her his card and said to call him next time the chicks were doing a gig. He wanted to follow their progress. Arnie called a minicab to take the girls all the way back home to Teddington. It wasn't a stretch limo, but it did have leather seats. When they came through the door to their house, Dad met them and asked how the big gig had gone.
"Great," said Mandy.
"That's my girls," said Dad.
And they all went straight to bed. Because although they had only been on stage for 3.5 minutes, they all felt incredibly tired. So that was Gladys and the big gig. How far do you think the chicks can go? Well, look out for the next chapters on storynori.com. Until next time, from me, Natasha. Bye-bye.